This is September 24th, 2002. It's part two of Maitreya's lecture on the seventh seal.
This is the mission of Maitreya. We are having our Feast of Tabernacle yearly gathering. We gather 8 days together as being commanded by God in the Leviticus 23 in the Bible. For 8 days, we will celebrate the Feast of Tabernacle, and we are in the middle of it, and this is the second part of my lecture, and we covered half of it yesterday, and we're going to go through the rest. It's called the Seventh Seal, Mission of Maitreya, Eternal Divine Path. As I said yesterday, since this is a lecture about the mission, so really it's about me and the mission. So it's very hard for me to talk about this as Maitreya himself said, Maitreya fulfilled this prophecy, my friend will be that prophecy. Maybe it's better to look at it as I am a third person giving this lecture. So I'm talking about Maitreya and mission and all that. So in that case, in the future, if somebody wants to give the lecture on this, the same topic, they can use the same thing and say almost the same thing that I'm saying today. We went through the many topics yesterday, and we also covered the prophecies fulfilled through this mission and how we can find the prophets. That's the only way you can find if they are really a prophet or not. If they are having fulfilled the prophecies, no matter how wonderful thing they are saying, you know, it's not from God. It's 100% directly. Prophet Muhammad, Christ, even Moses, you know, and Bob, all of them had to fulfill the prophecies, and even in the prophecy of he cometh in the cloud, we said confusion, every eye shall see him. We described that one as the thief of the night. Well, mission is very, you know, quiet, and not very many people know about it. Really is sneaking into the human society right now, and they're just calling their leg, come and leg. And a lot of people come here, but really they don't get attracted to the mission. Unless you are elect, you get affected. You know, I want to repeat again, because probably this is one of the things probably John didn't cover in the prophecies. You covered that he's going to come to the West, he's going to come to United States in America. Also, one of the things we just find out around a month ago when we were discussing with Brother Frank about succession in the mission, you remember he directed us to go to a website to study, and one of the things there was about Joseph Smith. And Joseph Smith apparently had a vision of what city in the United States, you know, that Christ is going to appear, and probably it would be of interest to you, John, if you want to study what in that URL about Joseph Smith. I went through that yesterday, but I'm going to read his vision one more time so you would know what it says there. Christ comes in Rocky Mountain, west of the U.S. In the spring of 1844, Joseph Smith received the vision called the White Horse Prophecy. He saw that Jesus would return in the Rockies. Later, Smith saw that the return of Jesus would be in America in the temple described by Ezekiel in the Bible, which would be located in Rocky Mountain. Mission, this is my quote, mission started in Denver. That is Rocky Mountain, right in the middle of the Rocky Mountain. Everybody knows where Denver is, and they know everybody knows it's Rocky Mountain. And also, of course, Rocky Mountain goes all the way in New Mexico and is, you know, very close to us, right where your rancho is. So his vision was correct on that. And then he goes on and says, at this time, he, Joseph Smith, saw a vision of a great river, and Jesus was on the west side of the river. He traveled on the Mississippi River. Of course, he thought large river, the vision meant Mississippi, because that is the largest in the United States. So his conclusion was, logically was, well, that's what it should be. So he traveled on the Mississippi River until he saw a mountain and a town in a valley west of the river. He told his followers that this town would now be called Nauvoo. He said it was a Greek word meaning plateau. Of course, Rio Rancho is in the west of Rio Grande. What Rio Grande means? The large river. And we are right in the west of the river, and we are in a plateau. You know, it's higher than the rest of the place. And Sandia Mountain is right in the city. This time God not only fulfilled all the prophecies you found out and other people found out, but also give the city, the place is going to come, the city and everything. So I just wanted, you know, to mention that you can probably look into that too if you want to add to the rest. Okay, the next prophecy is the name. A lot of people are still waiting for him to come up at the name. Whatever they know the name as Muhammad or Christ or Jesus, even, you know, of course, Jesus wasn't his name. But Bible clearly says he will come with a new name. So it doesn't have to be exactly the same name that they were waiting for. You can go to the next page. Okay, his name were given to him. All my name, none of them I gave it to myself. Maitreya, Vijay Kumar, Joseph Emmanuel, none of them I gave to myself. I was born with the Muhammad. Muslims are waiting for their Messiah to come or Mehdi to come. I received the Maitreya from Baba. I received the Vijay Kumar from Baba. Of course, it's a long story. You all know what happened, and it's in the website if you guys want to go. There is a 1 week of lecture about, you know, how I became Maitreya, or how I realized that, you know, what my mission is. So, all this name is not given to me except the title Jalalullah that I recently gave to myself, and that is also to emphasize that Jalalullah means the glory of God, not Baha'u'llah. A lot of Baha'is says the Baha'u'llah means the glory of God. It doesn't mean. It means the beauty of God. Okay? It does not mean the glory of God. Of course, they go and every place in the Bible or any scriptures, the glory of God, they say it's referring to Baha'u'llah. And that name even does not mean glory of God. So that's why I give that title to myself, so everybody recognize that Baha'u'llah does not mean glory of God, but Jalalullah. This mission, of course, is glorifying God for sure. There is no doubt, even if you're an atheist and an agnostic, still if you read, though, you will see God said he's going to do these things in history in the last 2,000 years, and he did it. Even if you're intellectual, okay, if you don't have any heart, any relationship to God, you can still realize God said he's going to do this thing, therefore you believe in them. The next, all great religions on earth have predicted of the coming of this mission. Every religion have predicted that this mission will come. In Hinduism, they're waiting for Kalki avatar. Of course, I'm not going to go through all the details about any of them, as they are on the website, and they are already been published there. Actually, this lecture is mostly outline of what mission is all about. You know, so really, if you want to know the detail, that's why the website is such a big website, because they have so much material to cover. So that's why I'm going to just go through them. And Zoroastrian, they are waiting for Shah Bahram. Shah means king. Bahram is the name of the coming of their Messiah. In Judaism, it's called Messiah, and they are waiting for their Messiah to come. Of course, Christ came really as their Messiah, but they never accepted him as the one they were waiting for. But of course, still are calling for Messiah. Buddhism, this is Maitreya. You know? So Buddhists say, what do you cover up from our religion? Even the name I start the mission is the Buddhist name. So they should be pretty happy that, you know, that's the name that has been given, and they are included also. Navajo and American Indian, Native Americans, that they're waiting for Masua or something in that pronunciation. And actually, if you look at it, Masua is very similar like Messiah, isn't it? Very similar. The American Indians are waiting for that. And actually, they are waiting for him to come with a beard and a white robe. That's why I started the mission. Actually, when I came to Toronto, I came with the sandals and my robe and beard, and I was traveling in the airport. I remember everybody was looking, who is here with a beard, you know? And they thought, I'm going to just blast them away. They thought, oh, it's the second coming. So they are waiting for that great spirit to come, and we do represent the great spirit, and that's God. Okay? And Christian, of course, are looking for the return of the Christ, and they have the address exactly where they can find him. The only thing they have to look at the prophecies is coming from Latuina, in the city in the west of the United States. You know, what else they need? And Islam, of course, they are looking for Mahdi. As I said, this mission has fulfilled every prophecy before it. Although Bob represented Mahdi, the mission represented Mahdi too. Bob was from the lineage of Prophet Muhammad, mission is from the Prophet Muhammad. Also, Christ was from the lineage of King David, you know, mission is from the... So it covers the whole thing. It just brings the whole thing, unifies even those things together. And of course, Baha'is and the Babis that were working, he who God shall make manifest. Of course, Baha'u'llah claimed that he is the one that Bob was talking about. Of course, we know better. There's a lot of things in Baha'i teaching which is not perfect, and God said it is not perfect. And also, as we know, he threw a lot of things he wrote away. How can he be the last revealer if he throws half of his revelation to the river? You know, he could not have, you know, covered everything that God revealed to humanity. So we see that Baha'u'llah also could not be the seventh angel, and he's a co-prophet with Bob, the two prophets that prophesied to come. In the last days, knowledge shall increase. What happened? Since World War II, suddenly from the doom buggy or horse and carriage, we are in a space traveling. Who gave those things to humanity? Of course, our scientists say, well, we discovered them. But in reality, God led them to discover. Just like Einstein knew that he couldn't come up with them himself. He has to come from a higher power, and he believed in God and our consciousness. So we can see that even scientists are used by God to reveal this thing to humanity. So knowledge shall increase. Okay, next is false prophets and antichrist will arise. Do we have more teachers this time than before? What's going on? More chiefs than Indians? So you can see that there are a lot of people who says, I'm the teacher. I know the truth. Come and follow me. Okay. There is a truth in it. Anybody who is a little higher in a consciousness can help the person a little lower than themselves. But how much did they can take them? To their own level. Okay, there's much more, you know? And we can see even if you can astral project, still you haven't made it. You got cut in the ethereal level and start going to pure consciousness. Okay. New revelation will come, of course, you know, we know that our teaching is not extension of any other religion. It's absolutely new revelation. It's nothing like it has been on earth for at least 12,000 years or before Noah. So we can see this is absolutely new revelation, but it's a new revelation which includes every other revelation. Babylon the Great, the world order will fall. We are witnessing of the change of the power structure on earth. There's great upheaval is going on right now, and they will eventually realize they even either have to destroy themselves or to listen to God and His revelation and bring His kingdom on earth. As we saw, God is in control. As we explained, He directed the history. He is the one in control. No matter what these people think, they are not in control. God is in control. And that is what they have to understand and realize. We have to spread this message and let the people understand that God is the only salvation of humanity. Otherwise, we're going to blow them to pot. As simple as that. We have the capability of blowing ourselves 50 times. Okay. Why do you want to blow yourself 50 times? The first time you blow yourself, that's it. You don't need to blow another 49 times. But we have the capability to do that. So that is our job, to spread this message, to get the people to realize that we have to come together. This is the revelation that unifies us. But at the same time, we are individual, as individual expression that they have that. Not everybody likes it. Okay, that's what we have to be unified under this revelation, not under our personalities. Okay? Each of us have a different personality, but we have to sometimes tolerate some personalities because we want to be unified. We cannot throw anybody from this mission because it belongs to everybody. So we have to realize also be unified under this teaching. We might have different personalities, but did not match, which is okay. That's the way it is. You have to create so much tolerance that we would be able to tolerate some energies that otherwise we would not. And so we create greater ability to be with each other without getting to the personality problems. So we can see that God is still is in power, but it has to be recognized by humanity that yes, really, God is in power and in control. And the only way to create His kingdom, which He meant from the very beginning, is the creation of the comings of life and creation of greater understanding and compassion for one another, so we can create an environment everybody can grow physically, mentally, and spiritually, and help one another. That is another thing. We have to help each other. We can help somebody, we should. Okay, so the bubble will be great, that this wall is going to fall. There's no doubt about it. It's going to fall. Of course, a lot of people, they think they have the ability to continue it, but it's not going to work. But there are also other prophecies, the third revealer of the greatest name, that a lot of people are waiting forever. It's also Baha'is are waiting for them. They say that they have two of them, and the third one they do not have. And we have the war. No, we are revealing the word to humanity. Actually, I think this is the first time that really God permitted to distribute to everybody, to humanity. Christ knew it. He healed people with them. He revealed it to His disciples. You know, that's why they could heal them, heal people. And, of course, we don't heal people because, you know, we want every individual to become self-sufficient, then heal themselves. So if I heal you, you have never learned how to heal yourself. You know, you just, I go away and the bad spirits come back even, as Christ said, seven of them, you know, gang up against you and your estate is going to be even worse than before. So that is why we teach yoga, meditation, becoming familiar with yourself, your body, so you can heal yourself. After a while, we don't need any doctors and very few of them probably. This thing will not, but the way we are going, if really people need, listen to us, a lot of people are going to be out of business because they don't need, you need, don't need them. God already gave you the ability to heal yourself and know yourself, and you don't need any chiropractor or doctor or anybody. You can do it yourself. Why yoga? When you do yoga, you heal yourself. You can then massage yourself and get the energy moving your body and all that. So that is the recommendation of each person: become self-sufficient. The rest shall be martyred. Of course, we know that the Baha'is were martyred. They were living in Iran before the revolution. When the revolution came, and of course, they were the infidels. They were saying there is a prophet after Prophet Muhammad, and of course, they said no. In an Islamic country, Muhammad was the last prophet, and there is no other prophet, and therefore they are disseminated. They are absolutely cannot find any Baha'i here anymore in Iran. And it was actually started it there. That's why God brought me here this time, and then said, okay, in this country they have passed the separation of the church and the state, so you can preach, you know, my word without anybody put you cross or shoot at you. At least so far, okay? If I had said this thing in a modern country, I wouldn't be an infidel. You can see that God this time is very protective about His revelation, that He wanted to come somewhere that it can be preached. Even He provided computer. Now we are saying, and a lot of people out there can hear us. You can see He has provided a lot of means to disseminate this revelation to a lot of people. Actually, we probably reach more people in this time, in this period, that Christ probably reached in 200 years, because we have so much tools to work with. Actually, it is in the Bible that those with the white robe ask God, God, when then your kingdom will come? And God said, you have to wait for a while. A little, actually, that is the answer to that question again, that why was said, wait a little until the rest of your brother are to kill. So waiting is a little this time. It's not a long 1,200 years or 500 years or 600 years. Very little. You wait for a little, the rest will be also martyred, and that's what happened to the rest of the Baha'is. A lot of Baha'is were killed in the revolution, ironically. So we can see that also fulfilled. And also, of course, Mr. Cram went around and said, my choice is going to come in 1982. This is, you guys all are familiar with. And we even didn't know about him. We reached out and we published a book, and one day Sarge came to me and said, there's one of her friends.
Janice
said, that, what did
she say? She said, hey, have you seen that book? About
Maitreya. Maitreya, yeah.
I said, no, what book? She said, yeah, it was in the bookstore. About Maitreya the Christ.
Yeah.
I said, no.
And then that's when we find about Mr. Cram. But we already had reached out in 1982. So that's another prophecy. Okay, I guess that's enough prophecy, isn't it? We can go to the next story. mission of the seventh angel. Okay. Now, let's see, you know, what is the mission of the seventh angel? Open the seventh seal. So anybody, any prophet before this prophecy, if they claim that they are the seventh angel, can they be seventh angel? None of them opened the seventh seal. No, nobody came and said, hey, this is what seventh seal means in the Revelation. In the Revelation, the seventh seal means seven revelation of God. Seven spirit of God that came through the different prophets. Therefore, the seventh angel has to open the seven seals. And if he hasn't opened the seven seals, he cannot claim to be the seven angel. Reveal the book sealed with the seven seal. In the whole culmination, the whole zenith, the whole highest level of revelation of God comes in the chapter 5 of the Revelation. That the whole universe is waiting for this book to be opened. And nobody can open it. Nobody is sealed with the seven seal. And then everybody is crying and saying, well, we cannot open it. How can it be opened? You know, and they all gave up. You know, even John started crying and said, it's not going to be open. And suddenly the branch of the tribe of Judah is going to open it up. And then the whole universe, of course, rejoiced. We are in that point now that the seventh seal is open. The book is revealed. And therefore, the period has finished. That period of 12,000 years that God was trying to show humanity. If God leaves humanity alone, that's what's going to happen. 6,000 years of war, destruction, separation, dogmatic beliefs, false prophets, false kings, and all these things is going to happen to you. God told the children of Israel, you want a king? Fine. Go ahead. Choose your king. And they made a mistake and choose Saul. So that means human without God is what? It's lost. Absolutely, it's lost. And they're going to create a lot of problems for themselves. And probably they can blow themselves up. Somebody maybe get atomic bomb and they were desperate. They blow the whole. They blow the whole. Did the kingdom come? that's exactly what the atomic bomb does. It just blows the whole thing. What happened to Hiroshima and Nagasaki, you know? 10,000 people, they were going around eating their food and leaving their nuts. Suddenly, 10,000 of them just vanished. And the rest got diseased and the skin started fall off and all that. What is that? You know, that was just a very small atomic bomb. The one they had is million times more potent than the one they had in Hiroshima. This is something, you know, humans really have to think. And they're going to do it. In Cuba crushes, we almost did push the button. If Khrushchev hadn't back off, you know, probably somebody would have pushed the button. That is what human is going to do. there is going to be career separation, dogmas, and destruction is going to come to them. And now this is the blueprint of not doing it. Okay? We have the blueprint to humanity. Look, God brought you to this point. Now this is your salvation. You're either going to blow yourself up or you're going to be in the kingdom of heaven on earth. Which one are you going to choose? So, you see, what responsibility is upon our shoulder? It wasn't upon my shoulder, now it's upon your shoulder too. Of course, at the same time, you know so much wonderful about God, and you were prepared for it. The next topic was the mission of the seven angels. Mm-hmm. The next mission of the seven angels, disseminate the teachings and spread the message to all corners of the earth. Okay? And that's what I have been doing for the last 20 years. Every opportunity God gave me, I pushed it to the limit. No matter what, the smallest opportunity I receive, you know, I disseminate this message out. We have, of course, we have wonderful website. We have wonderful webmaster that helping is very much. And I think we have covered very good materials there. And actually, you know, there's anything in the mission, you can go and find out about it there. You know, there's nothing that is not covered and is not there. We have been answering questions for 22 years. And I'm to the point, sound like I've covered anything. Of course, once in a while, somebody come ask a question never been asked, but most of the question has been really answered. So we have fulfilled our responsibility to God and tried to disseminate this information to everybody on earth. And it's in the web, it's in the internet, and everybody have access to them. Gather the elect. The next responsibility of the seven angels is gather the elect. And that's exactly what we are calling. We're calling the elect. Come, elect. We need you to come and join us. Come closer to the mission or wherever you are. You know, of course, we need a lot of people close to the mission to get, you know, things going on around here. That's first. And second, of course, create teachers that they can go and preach the teaching all over the world. And thirdly, they create people who have the ability to create more communities of life. So eventually we can create more and more of the communities, and when humanity is ready, then these communities connect to each other and send email to each other all the time and use computer and all that, and we'll even teach this thing to humanity in a greater degree. Create a facilitating body. That's another responsibility of the seventh angel, is not only to bring the, you know, elect together, but also create the facilitating body. Facilitating body is the original hierarchy that will be created in a mission, and this original hierarchy will facilitate the creation of the communities of life, and eventually the final hierarchy will emerge from the bottom of the society to the top. When, of course, that is created, this facilitating body become elders, so they just sit back and help the body, but they are not, they don't have any authority because they are not really chosen by people. The whole idea of the mission is people are going to emerge from these communities, so they are going to really be the people who will run the show. But we need a facilitating body, we need a body that facilitate assimilation of the teaching and at some creation of the promise of life. Okay. So we need to create that body. Who's going to be in that body? Elect. Manifest the hierarchy. Okay. Eventually we have to create the promise of light. Promise of light, the communities are based on the eternal divine path, and these, from these communities the leaders will emerge, and eventually a hierarchy will be formed from them. Wait until humanity is ready. Then we wait. Okay? Then we, when we created this thing, then we wait for humanity to get ready. Also, this communities of light is going to be a wonderful place to be. People want to be there. So they're going to join more and more. There is a critical point. If we make the mission to get to that critical point, the rest is going to just fall into place. So we have to create that hierarchy from the communities of life. Wait until humanity is ready and bring God's kingdom on earth. That is really a goal of the mission, to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. And, of course, I am the first fruit and first revealer. You guys are the second fruit or third fruit or fourth fruit or whatever, but you have received the revelation. Now, it is your responsibility. This was my responsibility. When I give it to you, it is now your responsibility. God knew this before even I was born. Okay? And He gave it to me and said, you have to do this. Have I done a good job? No. Okay, then you guys have to do the same thing. Eventually, we have to wait. We are not revolutionary people. We are in an evolutionary stage that the kingdom will come. The golden age is coming. There is no doubt about that. This is preparation for that coming. So the only thing we have to do, we have to educate people. We are educators. We educate humanity to see what they do to themselves if they don't listen to God. And God gave us a good resume that there is no doubt that this is from God. If you still have doubt and you cannot see this revelation is from God, as I said, something wrong with you. Because He gave even the address of the city. When is this going to come? Okay, let's go to the next page. Message of the seven angels. What is the message of the seven angels?
The mystery of salvation.
Oh, good. Very good, yeah.
Bring the kingdom of heaven on earth
through
the eternal divine path.
Eternal divine path. That is the message. Base of our teaching is very simple. It is a path. It is no dogma. It is no glossy thing over it. Or you, if you believe in a name, you're going to be saved. Or you have the last word. Or you are the chosen people. Or you are the chosen people who follow the eternal divine path. If you're not following the eternal divine path, you're kidding yourself. Because you cannot get there. Hopefully we find people that they don't cheat themselves. They follow the eternal divine path. They meditate. They are making their spiritual forces. They look at themselves, you know. What is my pattern? What is my problem? What do I do in my life that gets me to the same trouble over and over again? And if we look at the patterns, we eventually we dissolve them and we free ourselves from those subconscious setups. So we can see that they meditate, they awaken their spiritual forces, they free themselves from the psychological and emotional and cultural and whatever other things in this world they put on us and bound us, and they free themselves, and so they can say, okay, I can live in the community, I can be helpful, I can be loving, I can be a part of it, I can be a light worker, become a light myself. How can you live in a community of light if you don't have a light? You will be pushed out, you will be out of the place, out of sync. Okay, but if you have the light, easily you can live in a community of light and become one with it. And then, of course, you realize, you know, you can just have to sacrifice, and then you have to surrender and submit to God and become universalist, and you become an elect. Oh, you know the eternal divine path, like I have explained it many times, you know, that you have heard it. So that is the real message of this mission, eternal divine path. Of course, eternal divine path also unifies all religions of the world. That's what God meant. We're sending this religion, with that religion, with that religion. He promised that such a person comes and brings the next revelation, and he did. All of this say God exists. The reason I emphasize God exists is because 99% of the humans don't even believe God exists. They have religion, they have some beliefs, but they really don't have a direct relationship with God. They just believe something that their parents told them and say, okay, I believe God exists, but really they don't. But here in our mission, at least you see, God said He's going to do this thing, He did them, therefore He, actually intellectually you can say you exist, then you meditate, and eventually you will have some relationship with Him. Unification of our religion. He also unified the seven angels, also unifies our religions. There is no religion in the world is not unified in the mission. Judaism, Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism. What religion is not unified? Anybody can come with any religion is not unified. There is a mystical path, which covers a lot of religion. Any religion say, know thyself, is a part of mystical path. Does Hinduism say, know thyself? Does Buddhism say, know thyself? They're all in the mystical path. And then Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Baha'i, and all other religions are unified. Therefore, again, the seven angels fulfill that requirement. Unity of the universe and man. If you read the book Universe and Man, you will see that, again, we have unified man with the universe. Every man, every woman is the universe itself. You have every element in the universe in you. So you really represent the universe, each of you. And that is how you connect it to the universe. Ultimate goal is to become pure consciousness, and you don't need this body anymore to become absolutely absorbed into Godhead. Even then, when the universe all becomes pure consciousness, you still are a part of the universe itself. So that's another unification. Next responsibility of the message of the seven angels, God is the king. Has to be glorified. That's why whenever we do good, something good, who has done it? God has done it. Whenever we do bad, who has done it? We did it. It's a terrible place to be. So, can God do something that is not perfect? If we are doing something that is not perfect, who did it? We did it. Because we didn't let the Spirit come through. Yeah. So, you have to always let Him do the work. If He does the work, what happens? You do perfect things. Then your life becomes a joy and a dance and something that you flow with it. Anything is done at the proper time and perfectly is done, and correctly is done. So we let Him come through and all glory go to God. He doesn't need us to glorify Him. He doesn't need the glorification. He's perfect. How can you glorify something that is already perfect? A perfection doesn't need glorification. Perfection is glorified in another way. Okay. So He doesn't need it. We need to glorify Him. Why? To get out of ourselves. Okay. Forget about me all the time. But glorifying Him all the time, we don't think about ourselves, but we think about God and we put out of ourselves. So we are free. And we said, if God is the King, we create comings of light. We follow God's laws. God is not the king. We have kings. We have head of a state. We have dictators. We have presidents. We have this and that, which are not connected to God. So even the heads have to be connected to God. If his head is not connected to God, is the body connected to God? No. If the head is sick, what happens to the body? The body feels sick. When you have a headache, would you feel good? Your body feels good? Again, it's so important in the mission that the head should be paravipras. The head should be people who are connected to God. If they are not connected to God, the body is going to be also not connected. Bring His kingdom, which will bring peace, prosperity, and good God-like to man. So that's the only way to prosperity, peace, unity, and good life to man, by bringing the kingdom of heaven on earth based on the communities of light. There is no other way. Anybody out there saying anything else that they say they can bring peace, or I have a good idea, let's create global nations, or this and that. They're good ideas. They mean good. I'm not saying they're bad people. They mean good. They want to do something good. But they want to do it according to human understanding, instead of God's understanding, which is now revealed to humanity. Timing is perfect, because we are on the brink of destructing ourselves or bringing the kingdom of heaven on earth. Okay, the next topic, the next page in the PowerPoint is what the seven angels unifies. They have talked about so many unifications is occurred in the mission. What do we unify in the mission? First of all religions on earth. That is the most important part of the unification that occurred in the mission. We have unified all religion on earth. Second, we unified Judo-Christian, Islamic, Baha'i teaching with a mystical path. No other revelation to this point unified the mystical path with Judeo-Christian, Islamic Baha'i. Even Baha'i teaching mostly is really an extension of Judeo-Christian, Islamic teachings. Okay? That's why they have a hard time with the Hindus and Buddhists, because they don't cover mystical path. So we can see that's another unification. Mystical path is the spirit of all religions. If you don't know mystical path, you don't know meditate, if you don't understand karma and reincarnation, you don't understand your tree. When Christ says that Elijah is the John the Baptist, he's talking about reincarnation. How did Elijah, as John, came in the womb of Martha as John the Baptist? He was reincarnated as John the Baptist. So we can see. Now you say, oh, now I understand. Now that I have realized, you know, the mystical path and the teaching, now I can see. When Christ said, your eyes has to be single, then your whole body will be full of light. If I wasn't in another marga, or I hadn't meditated and not heard about the third eye, I wouldn't understand that sentence. I would say, okay, maybe light is something come from the sky and go to my body and fill me up. That's why my first experience was mystical, with Baba. Actually, my first experience with God was meditation. I closed my eyes and I saw the light and everything made sense. Okay? So we can see the mystical, that is the spirit of all religion. So that is why that's the first step in the eternal divine path. You have to meditate and create the experience with God. As you said, God is not something you explain. God is something you experience. You can explain forever and you're never gonna, you know, find out about it, but when you experience it, you don't need explanation anymore. You know, you just experience it. East and the West. So far, East was mostly spiritual and religious, West was mostly mind and science. Now we see even this revelation is the only revelation actually was revealed in West. All other religions and revelation was revealed where? In East. So we can see that the East and the West also unified. Actually, I was educated very Western way when I was growing up. I grew up very Westernized. I was in the time of Shah, and, you know, he was pretty Westernized. He was skiing and going to Europe all the time and all that. So I was Westernized when I came here. It was a very big, you know, cultural shock for me, you know, when I came to the United States. And actually, I didn't know anything about meditation, and I didn't even believe in God the way they presented to me. But here I found East. Actually, I grew very Westernized in the East and become very Easternized and find the East when I was in West. So absolutely upside down. Also, God now is released the energy between West and East, and they are becoming more balanced. Eastern people learning more about science and all that. And West is interested to know about God, and, you know, because a lot of Western souls were born in East now, and a lot of Eastern souls were born in West. So they're getting mixed up. Okay, what else did Seven Angel unify? All prophecies. As we said, before prophets had a couple of prophecies fulfilled with them. In the Seven Angel, all the prophecies came together as one, two, and he represents all the prophecies of the prophets before him. You know, so that's another unification. Khatam and Khatam. You know, that's the big discussion in Islam, that what did Prophet Muhammad meant? What did he mean Khatam? The end of Prophet, or Khatam? The seal of Prophet. Was he the seal of the Prophet, or was he the last Prophet? So now we can see that our explanation unifies them. He is the seal of Prophet, praise the Islam, the greatest sign. In the very top, if you make a ring of the greatest sign, where the Islam is going to be? Seal of it. And also, of course, he brought the highest spiritual realization. If you let God come through you all the time, are you and God are one? You don't exist. God only exists. Isn't the goal of the life is to become one with God? if you reach that point, you have reached your highest spiritual realization. So in that sense, he brought the highest spiritual understanding, and therefore he was the last prophet. Really, the rest of the prophet after him didn't bring any great spiritual realization. They brought the universalism, who is the elect, and unification. But really, the most important is that you and God become one. Science and religion. We also unified science and religion. There is no separation between science and religion. Whatever science realizes is what God has already created it. We are not against evolution. We are not against science. Actually, we were talking about ice last night with Daisy. Water is the only element in the universe. Then it freezes, it expands. That's the only element in the universe that when it freezes, it expands, it starts to become more condensed. And he had explanation why. So I asked him, who do you think created it this way? He said, God. Isn't it nice if you can study science at the same time, realize who is behind it? Who created that science, those elements that they bound together, create new elements and all that? And he didn't hesitate. God, right away, he knew exactly what the answer was. Capitalism and Marx and Engels' idea for which communism came from. Capitalism says free enterprise. Anybody wants to make a capital and make money and reach out and make as much money as they want and live the way they want. And communism said no. Of course, Marx and Engels, as we explained yesterday, they said there is a thesis and antithesis, and there is a fight between two elements all the time, and eventually one of them win or they merge together and become synthesis. The synthesis becomes a thesis itself, and it's going to have an antithesis, and again the fight is going to go on till the, and it'll continue forever. So they come with the idea that the capitalists or the people who have the resources, the money, they're going to be against the workers and the farmers, mostly workers. So there's going to be a fight because eventually they envision that the communism comes, which everybody work according to the ability and take according to need. Of course, we saw that communism didn't work. Russia fall apart and you know, Cuba is in trouble and all the people that didn't follow communist ideology didn't work. And they never explained what happened after communism. If communism come, that become what? Thesis itself, isn't it? There has to be antithesis of communism. What is it? They never explain that. But in our teaching with the explanation of the psychological movement of the society, which brought with Baba, okay, we will see very comfortably they are right. There is a thesis, antithesis, and it's happening. But it has a psychological way. At the time of the revolution, who revolt against the thesis? Workers. But the moment the revolution starts, who is going to put those workers out from the destruction and looting and all that? There have to be an army. Warrior class comes in. Who ruled Russia for 70 years? The army. Army generals and all. So worker revolution transferred to the warrior or Catrian era. And then, well, Catherine era, when they became more and more dependent on the intellectual, Gorbachev comes and says, you know, no, we have to, this is not going to work, we need to become more business oriented and intellectual. Now, Russia is in an intellectual era, okay? And of course, if an intellectual comes, the next is what? Business. You cannot leave if you don't expand. Business have to expand. That is the nature of business. If you stay still, you die. You have to expand. You have to eat other businesses and become bigger and larger, huger. And eventually what happened? Few businesses have all the resources. Everybody else has become a worker again. There is a revolution. And this cycle happens over and over. Okay. So, we unify these two ideologies. There's nothing wrong with the capitalism, to a point. But there's nothing wrong with the intellectuals having the ability of create and find out and research and understand the universe and bring greater resources to humanity to a point. There's nothing wrong with the system that have to bring peace to people by cut and arrow to a point. Okay, so you can see none of them is perfect, but all of them are necessary to run their courses. Now, if we leave it to human and let it, these courses happen by itself, when the time of the Vaishan era comes, business era comes, there will be a revolution and destruction and all that. But according to our teaching, the Paravipras, they know this cyclical movement. So when the time comes to go to the next cycle, they facilitate the change. So it becomes very smoothly goes from one era to next era to next era, and the human progress will progress forever to a point of the balance. When it's to that point of balance, then it's going to be a wonderful place to be. So you can see that another unification came to the mission. The next topic, the whole concept of community life with the with what happened to us. We created big cities, had our own house, and we separated each other from one another. We don't need our neighbor anymore because we had everything we wanted. We have heat, we had running water, protection of the police, everything we need, but we don't have community anymore. Exactly. There is no community, and therefore, not only there is no community, we both work. We haven't enough money to spend, okay? So I don't need you, you don't need me. Again, separation is absolutely destroyed the family, the structure, the home, the structure, and the community structure. We say, okay, now we can go back, have the community, but we can at the same time use the technology. If 12 people come together and even 7, 8, 9 of them work, 3 of them can stay home and create a good environment and community for the rest of the 7, 8 people who go to work. When they come home, they have a nice place there to meditate and be together and dance and chant and talk about God and listen to the tapes and read in the Pal Talk and and all that and be joyful with it. So again, we see that the new technology with the old community is unified. Man and God, no medium. You don't believe in the medium. You have to go to God directly. You don't believe that even spiritual teachers in the mission are here to assimilate the message, not to connect you to themselves. Okay? If they do that, then they're not good spiritual teachers. Okay? They have to realize that they are here just to give the message, connect everybody to the mission and to God. Okay. If they become an obstacle, then they are in the way. The unified Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's another discussion that's been going on for 1,000 years. Trinity or unity? Which one was it? And we explained it very well that the both is correct. You know, God has two parts, male and female, or consciousness and creative force, and it's a spirit. Therefore, it needs a body come through, and that body that they choose, and of course, prophesied to come when it comes, God comes through that body, and he becomes the Son. So, God is two parts, consciousness and trigunas, or creative force, and Son, which represents the Father and Son. So, there is one God. There is not three gods, but at the same time, three is necessary to manifest God on earth. That's the only way God can come to earth. Can God come to earth as a spirit? Just like there's how many radio stations do we have out there? Thousands of them? Can you listen to all of them at the same time? You can just tune in one at a time. So not only God has to broadcast himself, but also you have to be at the same wavelength to be able to pick it up, same station. But if you come to a body, that body can talk to you with mouth, so it can say something that you understand. So we unified Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Prophet, messengers, sons of God, Messiah, etc. means the same thing. And again, that's another unification in the mission. They call Christ Messiah and Prophet Muhammad prophet. But really, Prophet Muhammad was Messiah too, because he was the Son of God. He presented God according to Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He also presented God and the Holy Ghost. Therefore, he was Messiah. And also, the Muslim call Christ prophet. They don't call him Messiah. They call him prophet. That is true also, because he was also prophet. He had a message for humanity. So again, the unified that separation between all these concepts as one. Lineage. Again, the unified lineage of the Ishmael and Isaac together in the mission as one. Evolution and creation. Some people say it's creation. Creation is saying, you know, everything God said, be it was, and that's it. It happened 6,000 years ago. Of course, we know evolution is almost a principle that the universe was created billions of years ago. It wasn't created 6,000 years ago. Actually, when the first time I picked up the Bible in that church and I started reading the Genesis, I said, well, look at this. This is evolution. Right there. God created this and then created this and then created that. And then exactly it matches the evolutionary process. So God created the universe evolutionary way. Even creation of a child is an evolutionary way. Because how many sperm is there? Millions of them? Just one of them makes it. Who makes it? The stronger one, the faster one. So you can see that even in the very beginning of the creation of the child is a race. You're not going to make it if you're not strong and you're adopted. So we can see God created the whole universe in the evolutionary process. He created many dinosaurs, many branches. Many of them were extinct, but some of them became birds. Now you can see dinosaurs right in the back of your yard. They became birds. So we can see that, you know, God created it that way, and He floods the nature, and eventually some of those survive. So we can see that there is no separation between evolution and creation for us. We look at the creation as an evolutionary process which created for God. And then that is also unified. Predestination and choice. Some people say it's predestined. Everything, you know, you have no choice. You are predestined to live like this and die. That's it. And others say, no, you have all the choices you want. According to our explanation, both is again correct. The closer you come to God, the more predestined you become. You lose your choices. But of course, you are close to God. You have His grace and beauty and wonder and everything. But you don't have any choice. Do I have any choice? Not much. The only thing I have choice is really give this mission out. Little choices. But the person who is out there and have no mission or anything or close to God, they can wake up in the morning and say, well, I don't want to do anything today. And they don't do anything or go somewhere they want. So there is a predestination for those who are close to God, and there is choice for those who are not. But of course, those who are close to God, they have greater beauty of God with them. So that is, again, another unification. Now, that is what I came up. Anybody else has another thing that I didn't cover? What is the unified in the mission? That is brainstorming. Next topic, the brainstorming of the audience.
Not adding to, but when you were saying about we have those that come close to God have less choice, but the ones that have all the choice, they think they have all the choice, and they say, oh, I'm free to do this, I'm free to do that. Actually, they're more bound than those that have.
But we can say probably the best way of saying it is they have the more choice to go to the world and Maya and being destroyed. Go ahead, John.
So the mission brings together the renunciates with the family life and the communities of light and our teachers.
Okay, yeah, very good.
I'm thinking of the fighters and classes. That they're, they each have a place in society. It's not like the caste where they're separated and that they can't work with each other.
Okay, the another suggestion is unification of all the classes in the society. Before this explanation, they were separated vision and barriers and the workers and the intellectuals, now they each have a place in the psychological movement.
And you teach that we should accept each class. We should work with, be able to work with different types of people in the class. Because right now it's very separated. The intellectuals live in one part of town, and the workers live in another part of town, and we teach that we should work together.
Sure, not in three, but social classes, huh?
Just quickly about the Taiwanese life,
Another suggestion is unified family life, community life. Which before that they were separated. Go ahead, Kyosha. Very good, Kyosha. Very beautiful. Yeah, you're right. So, unification of three kingdoms. Very good. Okay, that's great. Now, probably there's much more. You know, it's just there's so many things, you know, unified in this mission that is amazing that we probably can sit here all day and find more. Okay, then let's go to the next page. Who will follow the seven angels? Anybody knows? Who will follow the seven angels? The elect. That's right. The elect, which we call them para-vipra. Para means beyond. Vipra means intellect. They are beyond intellect. They have gone beyond intellectual understanding only, but they are spiritual. Who are the elects? How can they be elect? Have they been born this lifetime and say, you're elect? Probably they have been born in many, many lifetimes. In the last 12,000 years, they have been with every prophet that came before. They have been helping the prophet all this time along to this point. And now when they see this revelation, they say, wow, that makes sense. I love it. You know, I want to be a part of this, you know. And these are the elects, and they are the ones. They have been in the process of being prepared. So there is another plan. The plan also to prepare elects to this point. Okay? And God says, the elects will inherit my kingdom. How can they inherit the kingdom? They will become the Paravipras. They are going to be the people who will hear this call and they realize they are Paravipras or they can become Paravipras and dedicate their life to this mission and come forward as the elects. Therefore, we can see that that is who follow the seven angels, the elects, the Paravipras, those who have been prepared for this work. Next page, characteristics of Paravipras. What are the characteristics of Paravipras? How do we know them? They are spiritually advanced. They follow the eternal divine path. That's how they give fruit. If they meditate, awaken the spiritual forces, they try to live in communities of light and create a communities of light. If they sacrifice for it and surrender and submit it to God and become a universalist, would they give fruit? They will give big fruits. Mango, pears, oranges, all kind of fruit they will give to humanity. There is no doubt about that. What other characteristics? Maybe they are papaya, yeah. Exactly, they're incredible, very good. Yeah. Okay, second is they are intellectually keen. They're not just spiritually high, but they also increase their intellect. Intellectually, they study, they go to the internet, they search, they find facts, they, you know, intellectually stimulate themselves, therefore they don't become dull. know, anything you don't use in the universe, you become dull. It's just like a knife. Okay? If you don't sharp the knife once in a while, what happens to the knife? You become dull. Of course, unless you have one of those miracle knives that they never. So we can see that we have to sharp our intellect also. We have to study. We have to continue, you know, being connected with internet at least. Okay, so we can keep our intellect sharp all the time. The third one of the characteristics of the Parabrahma is morally are incorruptible. Morally, they are not corruptible. If they get corrupted, who can get corrupt even more? The leaders, the head? How many preachers did we have that they were a lot of followers and they fall? The higher you go, the harder you fall. Okay. So that's another characteristic they should have, is they should be morally incorruptible. If they're not morally incorruptible, they cannot be a Paramitas. Next, have the characteristic of all the classes, worker, barrier, intellectual, and businessman. You should have the ability for business. If they come to business, they know how to handle the business. Actually, I went to business as well. You know? So God sent me first learn from the world, and then said, okay, now go and do my mission. So they have to have business ability, intellectually, you know, they should be able intellectually, you know, sharpen their intellect, and they should be fearless like a warrior class, and of course the door need to be fixed, you know, put your genome, get on with the door, and fix it. And also you understand them better. If you just sit there and say, I'm a spiritual, everybody just look at me as a spiritual teacher and a spirit, then what happened to you? You become very dull and one-dimensional. Even meditating too much is not good. Because if you meditate too much, you become escapist. The whole thing is, you know, just illusion, just meditate. You're going to be okay. Just like, say, just meditate, don't worry about it. But there's a room actually said, just chant. That's all you need to do. You don't need any of the God revelation or Bible or... We can see that that's gone too much the other way. The next characteristics, they understand the cyclical movement of the social progress. Okay, the next phase, characteristics of the Paramitas, continued, they have leadership ability, can create deep interpersonal relationship with others, so they will be followed willingly. Okay, they don't force themselves, they then become a cult. We don't force ourselves here in anybody's will. You are here because you want to. You want to leave tomorrow? Bye-bye. It is not a cult. It is something that you have seen the vision, you have chosen to be here and follow. Next, they will help in creation of the covenants of light and manifestation of the kingdom of heaven on earth. Of course, if you create the covenants of light, the more you can create the covenants of light, the sooner the kingdom will come, and they will help doing that. Next topic, next page. What are the responsibility of the followers, disciples? What is what we call the disciples of my seventh angel? What is the responsibility? Understand the teachings. First, you have to understand the teaching, because that's my responsibility. Second, spread the teaching. That's another responsibility. You cannot just understand the teaching and sit in your room and say, okay, I understand it, that's fine, I'm okay, you know. You have to reach out and touch as many people as possible. Three, follow the teaching. Get rid of the ego, if any is still left. Because if you are following a general divine path, you can't have any ego. Because you're meditating. You're working for the coming of God, you're sacrificing, you're having, honestly, you're in delusion. You can't be in delusion that following a general divine path. That anybody can be in delusion that following is only one path, but if you follow it, you won't have any ego. I guarantee that. Help Maitreya in all levels to accomplish mission. You're my hand, you're my eyes, you're my ears, you're my energy out there. I can reach so much. The rest is, you guys have to reach out farther than I can. So you have to help me in every level possible to accomplish this mission. Next page. What the seven angels and his followers will accomplish? They will spread the good news, or God news, of this new revelation. They create the comings of light, bring the kingdom of God on earth and within everybody. So that is what we have to accomplish. We have to spread the God's revelation, create the comings of light, and bring the kingdom of God on earth and within everybody. Next page. What will happen after the seven angels accomplish his mission? As we see, God has fulfilled all promises he has given to humanity. As you see, God said he's going to do this, he's going to do this, he's accomplished. Will he bring his kingdom on earth? He will. That's our salvation. No matter what happens around us, no matter what happens in the mission, our salvation is the focus that God said, I'm going to do this thing, he did them. Therefore, this mission will accomplish. Because God never failed in his promises. He has proven to us. He said to Abraham, he said he's going to send this Messiah, this prophet, with this lineage, genealogy, that he has accomplished all of them. Will he bring his kingdom on earth? Yes. Everything is falling apart around us. Should we be concerned? No. Doesn't matter. Because our goal is to bring the kingdom of God on earth. And God said it's going to come. And we have the blueprint. Will we be doing it? Yes, we will. So, we don't worry about anybody goes up or come or leave or the only thing is those who are called for it, they will come and do it. That's why I asked, the first thing I asked you guys, do I have any choice? If I have a choice, take your choices. That's fine. You don't belong here. But if you don't have any choice, then you belong here. So, God's kingdom will eventually come on earth. Next topic, this kingdom will last for 1,000 years, a long time. As the Bible said, after the seven angels, the kingdom will come for 1,000 years. Okay. Of course, 1,000 doesn't have to be exactly to the date. Okay. It can be a little longer, a little shorter, but it's going to be for a long time. Next page, what will happen after the seven angels? This continues. After these 1,000 years, there will be a short period that time will fall again. As again, if you read the Bible, in the Revelation, it says after 1,000 years, again, the devil will be released from the pit and humanity fall to the Maya. Well, that's going to be really short. Why it's going to be really short? Because humanity already been prepared. The Paravipas already had the leadership of the human society. And now in that small period, they fall a little bit. Why they fall? Because those who have not been reincarnated for 1,000 years, they will be reincarnated again to keep one more chance for them to see if they will make it. If they make it in that period, fine. They are given last chance to be if they will redeem themselves. God's kingdom will come to the elect forever. At that time, they will reach pure consciousness, will be with God. That is the essence of our teaching and the seven revelation. This is the conclusion. We already discussed this. I go very fast through. We are in the last days of this era. As we said, when the seven angels come, that is the culmination of all the prophecies, revelations, and at that point on, a new era we're going to start. And we are in that era. We are in that point of the God's plan. All prophecies are fulfilled, the seven seals are open, the book with the seven seals is revealed, all prophecies and revelations before this last revelation are fulfilled, human is on the brink of a great evolutionary step, many will leap to the next step of evolution, many will not. Those who will be incarnated for a long time, 1,000 years. Those who fail will not be incarnated for this period of time. Then again, there will be a short period of tribulation. After that, those who have prepared themselves, have overcome, will become the sons of God. Those who fail, they have one more chance, 1,000 years. If they don't make it then, they're going to be in big trouble.
Very firm message for humanity.
This is God's plan. It's not really, this is the thing is going to happen. I didn't make it up. Write in the scripture. Read the Revelation. Exactly what it says. Everything he said came true to this point. How can he not do the rest of it? Okay, if there's no question, then shalom to everyone.
Hello.